Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm X. A song for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who paved the way, lit the day. We owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must do is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song.
A tribute.
They're the progenitors of humanity. They named the moon and the dawn. What we must do is understand the divine role we are to play, and our children will love us, and our names they will gladly claim in tribute. That it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must learn is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song of tribute. Yeah,
George,
this is a piece for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who've been here and gone, who faced down the oppression so that our role could be lessened, who help us to know that we are a part of the chain of life, and we owe to our children the same thing. We need to show the same standard, and if we live our lives correctly, we will be blessed to one day be called ancestors. This is a verbal libation.
Yes, whose names we do not know. Habaragani, Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum, Shalom Aleikum, and all those beautiful words of peace. I'm your host, Brother Derek Jabril, and you are listening to The Narrative. How is everyone? Today is April 25th, 2021, Sunday. And what a beautiful Sunday it is here in the city of Houston in Texas. And I'm going to go to our newsletter, and then we're going to jump right into our program because last week we had some technical difficulties, and it caused some issues on our dashboards. But I'm looking at the dashboard today. Everything seems like it's okay, so we should be able to have a good discussion today. And the call-in number is 914-205-5519. Today we're going to be dealing with a lesson from nature, distinguishing reality in times of personal growth. And if you had the opportunity to look at the description of the show, it is saying what is this thing that we call nature? And what lessons can we learn from our observations of it? We're going to free your minds this afternoon because you and I have been trapped in a web of self-delusion as it relates to God, ourselves, and our ability to produce the life that we desire to have upon our acceptance to live a righteous and whole life. We're going to examine that because, as you all have heard in past shows, Brother Waleed Muhammad, our co-host, he made the point that there is one pattern. When you talk about the originator and the way the originator created us, created all that we see and experience, it all came through one pattern. And that pattern, as if you open your eyes and really look at it, is a proven pattern. This pattern comes from a long lineage of successes, starting back for trillions and trillions and trillions of years ago. Some of us, we call it eons of time. And the same pattern is still giving life our day and time in the sun. So we're going to look in deeply into that today. And I'm going to open up with our newsletter. It's newsletter 62. It says, Character Builders, the verdict is in. And Derek the Beast Chauvin has lost his freedom to terrorize freely with a badge on. The winds of justice are wailing and knocking harder on the doors of the guilty who live their lives false pretense every day. Those who harbor racist mindsets are dressed in robes, uniforms, and two-piece suits. The institution in the world of law enforcement has been soaked with the blood of falsely imprisoned and wrongly convicted and murdered people for far too long. Now the days of justice is rising to the surface after being weighed down by the pens of men and time. You will come to understand this by and by. In nature, there is a huge snake named anaconda. An anaconda, like all living things, has to have food for its survival. In order to end problems of police misconduct and brutality, it has to start where it all begins, with the lawmakers. The highest court in America is the Supreme Court, which makes up the body of the snake. The mouth of the snake is the police department, and the food of choice of this snake are the economically poor who can't afford to fight the laws and its fines. The strength of the snake is in its muscles and its ability to constrict and cover its victims. Snakes, like all things, have a tail at the end of his body. It is true that all of the systems of man has endings as well. But just like snakes, they need food to survive. Institutions are no different. Their food is money. Remember that. That is the newsletter, and I'm going to bring in my co-host today, Brother Waleed Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, sir.
Walaikum salam, brother.
Good to talk with you today, brother. Good to have you
good
on.
Good to talk with you.
Yes, sir, and hopefully we'll have this, Blog Talk don't act up on us like it did in last week. maybe that message, they didn't want the message to go out before that beast got his verdict. I don't know. But it's kind of like you say, they don't want this. But enough did come out, And I did, by the grace of Allah, gave people an insight on what to expect. Because from my experience, just by looking at all these past cases, whenever they have these big, high-profile cases, it never fails. If you watch the news the night before, the verdict is going to be read. And they will always kind of hint to you, if you're wise enough, what the outcome going to be. Because I noticed when they come on, whenever they know that the verdict is going to be favorable towards whoever is trying to receive justice at that time, then you will hear you will hear them say that, oh, it's going to be 2,000, what they call those, national guards have been called in. However, in previous other cases, like Mike Brown the brother in New York, our big brother, I can't think of his name right now, but they would say, oh, we're going to send in 20,000 troops, you know. So that's letting you know now where that outcome is going to be, because it's not going to be favorable if you're going to send in 20,000, but then if it's going to be favorable towards the victim's family, then, oh, we're going to send only 2,000 in. So that kind of, that's how I always measure those outcomes. But, brother, as I just read the newsletter, you have any thoughts on that?
On Derek Chauvin,
yes, sir.
Conviction,
yes, sir.
Well, I mean, you know, we all viewed the brother, and I say we all, maybe I should say that a lot of us viewed the brother being murdered on television or some other apparatus. And it was plain to see for some and not for others.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you had a trial. And that's what a trial is about. It's relative to the show that you're having today. What did you see? What did you see? And everybody giving their opinion on what they saw,
mm-hmm.
and how they saw it to be. The job of the defense attorney is to create, or should I say better, is to show doubt in the testimony
mm-hmm.
that's given in the trial.
Right.
And so when you have a lot of people testifying, and all of them are giving varied viewpoints of what they saw, that in itself grounds to question the moment, you might say, that occurred. Is because if I see something, you see something, and the next person over there see it all slightly different, then
mm-hmm.
it's like, wait, you know. Is it real or is it not?
Right.
You see? And so who is best at their job? The attorney, whether it be the prosecutor or defense attorney, who is best at their job of actually convincing a group of
mm-hmm.
people known as the jury, who is best at convincing that group of people to the guilt or reasonable doubt of the incident is who wins in the trial, basically. You see what I'm saying? So I know right now I'm trying to condense a lot of things that have to do with reality in just a very small, tiny view of it. And so it came out that the prosecutors were able to do that. He received the conviction. And you say, okay, well, everybody's clapping and happy and et cetera.
Right.
And within a week's time, they done killed six more.
Six people, yep. Sure did.
Six more. So what really was achieved? It's different opinions on what was really achieved. But that's what it is. But when you're looking at, and I'm looking at really a much broader picture than what we have been shown.
Right.
It's just another speck on the cloth that can be seen.
Right. And that's a good point. Because, man, even after you got the conviction, and like I say, people started taking to the streets. I didn't take to the streets. I didn't clap it and start celebrating. You know, I did have a little smile that I did see that it did work in our people's favor. But I'm a realist. I have to see things as it is. I knew that the convention, they was going to have a conviction. I mean, because how in the world are you going to be able to defend the indefensible? I watched the trial, parts of it, and I, like everybody else, waited to hear what the verdict was going to be, even though I knew what it was going to be, because there's no way in the world they was going to let him walk up out of there, not for what they would have been facing that would have followed right after that. But brother, it's the indefensible. The defense attorney, the more he kept trying to justify what this man did and using the word reasonable. Now, this is what was so crazy to me. You kept talking about a reasonable police officer would have walked up and did the same thing as the beat Chauvin did. Every time he said it, they were showing the film clipping of this man with his knee on the neck of George Floyd. How in the hell is that a defense? And every frame they kept showing, they even showed where the people was calling out to him, telling them to stop. And then saying that this confused Derek the Beast Chauvin. How in the world, if it confused him, then the reason why I use that term beast, you ever see a beast, since we're talking about nature, that chase down his prey, and then the beast just sit there with the prey in his mouth. The prey is just hollering, screaming, you know, making all the sounds and stuff. And what do the bees do? It just sit there. It's a little tired, but it just sit there and have his teeth resting sharply into the body of that prey and letting the life ooze out. Does the beast find – do you see any type of remorse in the beast's face? No. Did you see any remorse in Derek the Beast Chauvin's face? Hell no. So to say that what the people was doing was distracting him and causing him to go into total confusion, then you can debunk that because the damn fool put his hand in his pocket and was looking right at the camera. Like you know, look, I'm in control. There's nothing you can do. Just in the manner of a beast with an animal in his mouth, that's the way Derek the Beast Chauvin did, and he got exactly what he deserved. But we all know what he really deserved is the law of Moses. But I side with the people right now that all right, he got his. He got possibly, now, the sentencing have not came down yet, but possibly he would be spending at least 40 years in jail to that 40 years of his life is just gone if everything stay the way it needs to stay. However, the judge is going to come back and do the sentencing 8 weeks from now or probably 7 weeks from now. So, you know, so everybody, that's all I can tell you. If you want to see justice given at the full of the extent of the law, then you're going to have to keep pressure on it. And that's my point on it, brother.
You know, I have seen quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have grown to understand a little bit more. I try to grow a little bit more to understand what
yeah.
I see every day in the jungle life. And I say in the jungle life, I'm grateful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk, we in Islam here in America were taught that one of member of our family
mm-hmm.
went into what is now known as Africa 50,000 years ago.
Right.
And that was even before these white people were even on the planet.
Right.
And when he went into that area, it's filled with beasts of all types, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he conquered it.
Right.
And in so conquering it, many things occurred. But one of the points I want to mention, all of this is relative to what we've just seen and what we see every day.
Mm-hmm.
You ever look at, I don't know if you ever get a chance to look at hyenas or a pack of wild dogs.
Oh, yeah, I watch them. Yeah, I've seen them.
And you see these pack of wild dogs, they out
yep.
on the plains and how they trail and track prey.
Oh, yeah.
And when they trail and track prey, it's not that the prey is not faster than them. It's they are consistent. And
mm-hmm.
so they take off, and when they take off, the two, just say he got two or three running behind the creature. It's way behind the creature, right? Because
right.
the creature is so fast that they running behind. And then when they get tired, the others that are laying behind them, they increase their speed, and they continuously do this until the prey that they are chasing runs out of air.
Mm-hmm.
He can't run or she can't run to get out of the way. Then they run down on it and they viciously kill it. I mean, they tear it to
mm-hmm.
pieces while it's living and consume as much meat of that creature that they can hold. And
right.
then they head back over this long distance to the holes they live in where their babies are. And
right.
when you get there, they regurgitate the food and feed their babies some they may carry. So
yeah.
life in the jungle looks very brutal It looks really brutal, right?
Right.
Until you grow to the point to understand that everything in the jungle is trying to live. Everything in the jungle is trying to survive.
Right.
And whatever it takes to do that is what they do in order to survive. This is the program.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at the beast, at one time, brother, I ain't always been this way. At one time, maybe it's my age. At one time, emotionally, I used to be carried away when I see these type of activity, when I've seen these type of activities occurring, and wanted, and, you know, things came up in me that I wanted to do, et cetera, as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have grown to a much more mature state where I can see what it is. Everything is trying to survive and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to be emotional when it comes to observing life doing this. I just see it for what it is and realize that I, like all things I see, must do likewise to survive and thrive. And I think that's where we have a problem when it comes to us as a people.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts us in a predicament where we allow ourselves to continually be prey for predators.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
that's, right.
That's my view on that. That's my view on the Derek Chauvin murder of the brother.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you see countless, I love looking at National Geographic programs about creatures in the jungles and how they live. And a lot of times when you see a pack of lions or wild dogs or hyenas, whatever, predators, catch one member of the whole of the herd, and they kill
right.
it. And you'll see the herd, they go to making sound. And they're making sounds of, and then they're clustered together. And then after the animal is killed and the lions eat it, you see the herd goes right back to what they were doing before this occurred.
Right. Yes, they do.
And nothing else. It's an incredible thing of life that one can see while observing the jungle life.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to living in America.
Right.
Very,
right.
Very similar.
Very, very similar. And this is why we named the show this today, because we need to start going back and observing and looking at nature and looking at the patterns that have developed out of nature and use nature as an example on your journey. Because, brother, when I look back, this show been going on probably like for well over 5 years now, and I can't help but one, you know, look at and draw insights from watching a person climb a mountain. And you know, a few years ago they had an IMAX movie on climbing Mount Everest. Mount Everest is 29 3,141 feet above the earth. And when you reach that summit, man, just to watch that documentary, you know, you got to have a well-conditioned body. Some people get on there and try to make that climb. That climb, they have to stop at a certain point. And those who have made that climb countless numbers of times, they made sure that they marked the areas on where just you go in. Everybody always go in with the mindset of I'm gonna make it to the top. Kind of just like we do with our life and with religion, you know, in the things that we say that we want to achieve in this life. But we always start off with good intentions at the base. And when they started to climb, when they got up to a certain thousands of feet, then there's a marker there. And you can start out with a group of 20, and then by the time you reach that first marker, then next thing you know, you done dropped that number and dropped from 20, and probably dropped to 15. Then there's a second marker for the ones that went that could go on. You know what I'm saying? And then you reach the second marker, then the other people drop off. But just to look at the journey, man. It is fascinating because you don't start off with snow and ice. You start off with just a regular, you know, the conditions of the ground. Then the minute you start making your ascent up, then that's when all the elements start coming into play. The air start getting more thinner at the top as well. So therefore, your lungs, if your lungs is not strong enough, you can't go beyond this particular point. They got it clearly marked. And it would be dangerous if you're not, you know, physically fit to go there. This is the point you need to stop. If you don't, we have nothing to do with, you know.
Well,
and some people go beyond natural. It. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
Natural opposition to your pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Natural opposition to your pursuit of happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, when we look at the Quran, it's a matter of trial and test.
Right.
Of your faith.
Right.
And so, when you climb that mountain or whatever, you have natural opposition.
Right.
To test your faith and aspirations to get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's not telling you that it don't want you at the top. The mountain is not telling you that.
No.
If you can make it. It's all about if you can make it.
Right.
You get to the top. And it's the same way with coming into life and all of those sperm.
Mm-hmm.
If you can make it, you get a chance to manifest life.
Right.
But it's a whole lot of them perishing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, so I can't afford to tie my emotions up in how many is perishing. Least I realize that I am one myself that is trying to get to that place where I can manifest life in the sense of a human being. So my focus have got to be really fixated on where I'm trying to go. Really on where I'm trying to go.
You're right.
And a lot of times when we see one who is focused like that, we say, man, that Ian don't care about nobody. He only care about himself. He ain't trying to help us. He only care about himself.
Well, right.
Look here. If I allowed myself to be influenced to that kind of thinking, there's no mm-hmm. way in the world I would ever make it.
Exactly.
I have to be focused. It's taking everything that I have in me to get to that destination. I need all of my strength, all of mm-hmm. my power, all of my will to meet and overcome the natural opposition that I am facing to achieve my goal.
Right.
So what if I allow myself to be distracted like that? A lot of times we want to do for black and cease to realize that we ourselves are black.
Mm-hmm.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us what? Do for self first.
Right.
And if we all accepted that, do for self first, I think a whole lot more of us would accomplish what we set out, what we will, if we were focused like that.
Right.
It would, think about what he said when it come to God. When it came, when it come to God, he said that God said he only, disconnect this, he only wanted the best, the mightiest, and the wisest.
Right.
Check that out. For only the best, the mightiest, and the wisest could represent him.
Right.
Do that make sense? Does that make all the sense in the world, don't it?
The mighty, the wise, and the best.
That means that in our striving, whichever our pursuit was, we would always be giving our best, using the greatest amount of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we had and that we were accumulating. In order to try to reach our goal. We have no time to waste. We have no time to play. We have to climb that mountain, brother.
Yes, sir.
We have to deal with natural environmental pressures, of which living in America and on this planet, we have that as well within the people that enslaved us.
Right.
They couldn't have done it. This is we're talking about truth now. They couldn't have done it if we didn't teach them how to do it.
Oh yeah.
Do that make sense? It only makes sense when you realize the aim and the purpose for that. And we decided that we would undergo this for a certain period of time.
Right.
That we
That's right.
thought would be all that would be necessary in order for us to find out what it is we wanted to find out about ourselves. We're taught in Islam, according to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Quran, Allah is the only reality.
Reality, yep. That's right. Exactly what it says.
Allah
it says all will pass away.
Reality.
Yep. Except for the person of your Lord, all will pass away.
Oh.
That's what it says.
So we need to learn, we need to meditate on these kinds of things, teaching. We need to focus on these kinds of teaching.
Yes, sir, without a doubt.
I mean, when we look and see us in the street, we basically, there are those of us who feel like that is the way that they can achieve their goal. I'm not one to say it's not, if that's what they believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not my way.
Well, you know what? You brought up those three attributes, the mighty, the wise, the best. And I found that very intriguing because now when those words popped up, when those three attributes popped up, it popped up in the lesson. However, you know that the supreme wisdom it has a part for instruction of to the laborers, right? It's the first part you come to.
I understand.
And you know, brother, and I noticed it has three attributes, but it's one word that's different. When it speaks about then the laborers, this says the righteous. No. Matter of fact, no. It's actually two. It says you are the righteous, the best, and the powerful. Okay. But then when it gets into the lessons part, when you talk, and that'd be mainly the mass group, when you get into that section, then it's talking about the mighty, the wise, and the best. I mean, I'm looking at these insights, man, because, see, I'm just not a surface dweller. You know, if I see something different and it catches my attention, you know, I delve into it. You know, I think you made mention of being a scientist. You know,
let me
you got to get deep.
Go ahead,
brother.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Name me something else that can better
mm-hmm.
represent the all-powerful, the almighty, you know, et cetera, all the attributes.
Mm-hmm.
Then that one that is the cream that mm-hmm. rises to the top. What is
right.
the best representative in any area mm-hmm. or aspect?
Hmm. Other than Allah, I would say his messengers.
Listen to what I'm saying very closely, brother. The maker, the owner,
mm-hmm.
the cream of the planet Earth. We're talking about
mm-hmm.
that which rises to the top.
Right.
Proves itself to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
How can you doubt that?
Right.
How can you doubt that? Is there any room to doubt what comes from that struggle, that
mm-hmm.
all come from and rise to the top, be that one
mm-hmm.
to manifest the light? If God says,
mm-hmm.
only the best, the
mm-hmm.
mightiest, and the wisest. I think that I don't see nothing left out of that. Only the best, the mightiest, and the wisest could represent him.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. It just makes sense to me. I don't. When I'm looking at the God, I'm looking at the best. I'm looking at the mightiest. I'm looking at
mm-hmm.
the wisest.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
No, yeah.
when we look at, I mean, if you take it to little things among us, let's say bring it down and let's look at little things. When we look at in football, these are things that a lot of us relate to. Sporting events are not even sporting events, but any events. I don't even want to take it there. When mm-hmm. we see the ones that are at the top, what do yeah. they represent in the field that they are in? What do they represent? They represent the best of it.
The best. Yep, that's right.
The best of it. Right?
That's it.
So,
yes, sir.
It, you know, we all get the same thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's why, again,
no, yeah.
we all supposed to get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes us equal. That's what makes
right.
us equal. That's why the
right.
messenger said don't change the teaching. If
right.
you don't change the teaching, that means the brother who came in 60 years ago and the brother who just walked in the door, they got the same identical lesson to start from.
Uh-huh.
Who is the original man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
If you get something different, you change the equation. But if mm-hmm. everybody is getting the same thing, they have the same opportunity.
Right, exactly.
What we do with that opportunity is another thing altogether.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
And
that's
it goes into, definitely goes into perception in the long run.
Yeah,
remember that little part where it speak about how some people receive the word on stony ground. Some people who receive
yeah.
it, you know, in thorns. Yeah. Yeah, heck yeah. And
the
thing
same,
is,
you
brother,
get the same. Go ahead. Excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
You say you get the same. You get the same what? Go
I
ahead.
Mean, you... is that you get the same thing, but your perception
right.
may differ.
Yeah, exactly.
And if your perception differ, it
right.
don't have to do with nothing on the outside. It has
mm-hmm.
to do with
it's
what's on
is.
The inside.
Exactly, exactly.
See what I'm saying?
That's it. That's the reason why, boy, like that old saying say, the race is not to the swift, but to those who can endure to the end. Well, that's how it is when you look at Mount Everest in that climb. You're not running up that climb. But you know, when I look at it once you get past that dangerous point and you make it all the way to the summit, then just picture it, brother. You sitting at the top of the world, and you're looking down on the beauty of creation, and it's just like whenever you get in an airplane and you look down, then you actually begin to start seeing 2 to 3 dimensions on things that's below. And I was watching a video once. This man went up 80,000 feet up in there, just right at the ceiling, close to being, you know, where you start floating, so to speak, you know, where gravity is domed up there. And if you see the view of what that man showed out of that video, it's just incredible to see that from that type of height, just how beautiful this earth really is. I mean, it's fascinating, brother. And then when you look back on your journeys of life, it's just like you climbing Mount Everest. But then when you get to the summit and then your eyes come open, your mind come open, you start receiving all that this earth, all that the God has given to you, But then why is it that you just stop there at the summit? And then instead of going forward, we go back down the path that we familiar with to make our descent down. We don't go forward, we go down. We don't go to the opposite side of Mount Everest because the climb was rough. Remember, the scriptures speak about an uphill climb. And it says that people seldom want to make that uphill climb. But then here's a man, here's a woman that exists in this planet. They all different colors, races, and whatever and whatnot. But they made it to the top. There are those of us out here who never really had the opportunity to try it or will not try it. But just looking at the lessons in that, when they climb up to the summit, they got the beauty, they took in the sight, and then they come right back down on the side of the mountain in which they are familiar with. But we never really go into that forward down to the other side. Yeah, I'm just using that as a metaphor. Because you know, it may be some more rocky, you know, probably be a lot more harder. You never know. But from my life experiences, the climb up is always the hardest. But it's on the way down, it seems like it's the easiest and it's the fastest. What's your ideas on that, brother?
Well, brother, you know,
going forward.
I used to at one point think in the terms of duality,
mm-hmm.
and as I studied Tai Chi longer,
right.
I studied it for quite some years, very intently. Then I somewhat learned how not to be trapped in duality, but
mm-hmm.
how to use it.
Right.
And you can't do that being trapped into it. You can only be victimized by it.
Yeah.
But when you reach the other point, oneness is when you realize that you can control duality.
Mm-hmm.
See, so much, you know, so much is about feeling,
mm-hmm.
how one feels, you know. You know, this is good, this is bad. So much
right.
is about what is good and what is bad. And so, man, I'm telling you, it's so many things beyond that, it ain't funny. That's just another stage of duality.
Mm-hmm.
And most people get caught there and they're never able to rise above that. And all it does is cause hardship, you might say, for a lot of human beings, wars and all kinds of things getting caught in. You have to rise above that. As many
mm-hmm.
don't even know there is above that. There's a suchness as above that. And so
right.
it's either good or it's either bad. And they live their life like that. Whereas they are constantly struggling, and they are struggling to what? Get away from the bad, get to the
right.
good, only to find
right.
out that the good becomes bad when they indulge too much of it.
mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, I used to do a thing where I would talk to some of my students, and I would ask them what is their favorite dessert. And they would tell me, and I said, okay, let me give you your favorite dessert. And, man, right. They talk about how good it tastes and how wonderful it is. And I said, then please have another. And they eat another one. And then I said, oh, you must have another. They said, wait a minute, the same thing that they were embracing, the same thing yeah. that they were embracing close to their heart, now they find themselves, what, pushing it away.
Exactly, exactly.
So we have to rise above duality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great force that one must overcome if they are to climb that mountain.
Right. I remember in the book of, in the Kabbalion, I remember there's one little page where it mentions in there that the hermetist, the practitioner of the book of Hermes, and it says Hermes, but you know, most folks know it as the book of Hermes, right?
Okay.
It's really with yeah. the Egyptians, Egyptian colonists yeah. people, but we're talking about the same person. All right.
Yeah.
It speaks about how just what you were speaking about on polarity, dealing with the duality,
mm-hmm.
dual natures and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And the book definitely said exactly what you said. Well, you have to be able to master that because duality is just what it is. But then there's a lesson in nature for that. Because remember, in nature, there's no such thing as creating parallel outcomes. Whatever you plant in the earth, that's what you're going to receive, right? There's no, you can plant beets, but you ain't going to get navy beans. You can plant black-eyed peas. You ain't gonna get turnips. You're going to get exactly what you plant in this life. The thing about duality is that, man, you playing opposites games all day long, all day, all night. Should I? Shouldn't I? Could I? Would not? You know what I'm saying? And I tell you, brother, if we were to be privy to all of the thoughts that run through our minds, then they say that you have at least over 60,000 thoughts per day running through your mind. 60,000. Well,
let's just say we do a lot
tired,
of things.
Boy. trying to grab all that knowledge and stuff going through your head all day long, every day. That's why dualities can kind of be worked in every now and then, right?
Well, you know, again, we are taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad
mm-hmm.
that God is a scientist.
Yes.
They are quite unique from, let's say, theologians.
Mm-hmm.
They're quite unique.
Right.
and so when you look at the Twenty-three or 24. These are scientists.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Scientists, he taught us, controlled all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
They had the know-how, the knowledge, to be able to control weather conditions and all of that.
Right.
This was a scientist. And he said, that's another name for what? God. He taught us a scientist is another name for God. So when you look, man, we used to call Yakub when he was a big head scientist.
The big head scientist, yep.
Yeah. And he was able to look into us and find another there. Ain't that something?
Oh, yeah.
And he had the what? He had the knowledge, the wisdom and understanding of us that enabled him to bring the other one out of us.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great,
oh, yeah.
Ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
So we're talking about science here and
mm-hmm.
the ability to utilize knowledge and with understanding in such a way that we can bring about what we will.
Exactly.
This is God's potential. This is a part of the pattern. This is, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, cause
when you talk about nature, what is nature? How are you defining nature?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How are you defining nature? How are you defining nature? I'm asking.
Oh, you ask me. Oh, well, you know, I see
yes,
nature
you ask different people that same question, you might get several different answers.
Well, you are going to get several different answers and the reason why I say that is because in nature we see nature as function. You know, you can see nature as lessons, especially if you do a lot of observation of it. But with nature anyway, it the beginning is first born. It's all those things. And either way, when I relate to it, I look at nature as being the mind of the originator, because all it had to have an origin and a beginning. You was gonna say something? Go ahead, bro.
I was gonna say in your description of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you use a word to define anything
mm-hmm.
and say this is the definition of it.
Right.
You put it in a box or a circle.
Uh-huh.
You give it boundary.
Right.
So if you say nature, what you are trying to describe is locked in that word. But if we all
mm-hmm.
see the word differently, then what is going to be our perception of that word?
Mm-hmm.
See, exactly. So I'm saying, you understand what I'm saying? So we can look at a word. We can look at a word, name it, and we will have many varied ideas,
insights on it,
of the meaning of what we're trying to describe.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at a word like righteous or righteousness, what is righteousness?
Mm-hmm.
See, we use a lot of words. We use a lot of words. These words have been agreed upon, but we use a lot of words. But
mm-hmm.
do these words, how often do we stop to think about these words as being adequate?
Right.
And precisely identifying the what is. So I say, what is righteousness, man? They say, oh, Wally, you trying to be the devil's advocate. No, I just asked a question. Since many are using that word, what does that word mean, righteousness? And you just, you find people just shut up. They avoid dealing with it.
Right.
Everybody shut up. They don't want to deal with it, you see.
It's because they made it into a cliche. You know?
We need to start thinking about what we're saying and what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We need to really start thinking because we're programming ourselves.
Right. But when we talk about nature, it's really like since I've always made A's when it comes to dealing with English and grammar. And I know with nature is a noun, person, place, or thing, you know? And I tell you,
is nature a person, place,
well,
or thing?
Whenever people relate to it, of course, they relate it based upon whatever it is that they look at. Because remember, they try to call, and I'm not being vulgar, but don't they call the male organ your nature? Right?
Some, I guess.
That's a part
some,
of your person.
I guess.
They do. and then you talk about plants. They refer to plants. They refer to animals, the nature of animals, nature of plants, nature of landscape, you know, person, place, or thing.
Person, place, or thing.
Or thing. Right.
What
and
is
they
outside
things?
Of that? A person is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Place? What place?
Atmosphere.
What place?
Talking about.
I'm saying what place is nature found?
The soil or the earth, all kinds of things, minerals, all of them. Everything has
what
an
origin. What about an adjective? What about
a
nature
what?
As an adjective? An adjective.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's definitely describing.
And what is being described or an attempt to describe?
Basically, functions. And one of the best examples that I've always loved that came from you, that I learned from you when you did your Top of the Mountain program, what was when you, Brother Nasir, was talking about a seed, and you said that
talking about
that
a what?
With a seed, and then you
okay,
said that
I
that
you,
that man. The seed. When you split the seed open, it reveals its function. When I heard that, I said, man, you know, that makes damn good sense. Because everything, even, and so when I took that example, when I heard you say that, I started thinking about the thoughts that we generate. Inside, hidden in every thought that we generate is a seed of action. It could be in per each that we really feel strongly on is an emotion that is tied to that thought.
So you saying that emotion produced the thought?
Well, no, thought is carried within the thought. Emotion can be carried within the thought. That's what help us to bring about action on the thing. Say like I wanna build a house. Well, how am I gonna build a house if the thought comes up that I know I need to build this house, but I'm lazy as hell. then the house would never get built, right? So you have to be, your thoughts on building the house has to be emotionally charged in order to make it manifest. So else, if not, then the idea is just lay there and die in the brain.
That's all,
I told y'all, this
really
show is going to be very insightful.
This is, it's really this is really for another show. I want to stay with the topic of the show mentioned.
Well, it's still within it. It's still within the confines of it. Brother, when you look at, let's go with Mr. Blackman, okay?
Yeah.
When the very first part of that book, in the dedication page, what did the messenger say in there? He said that, no, matter of fact, I think it was the second page of the book. It said, to my people, the so-called American Negro, freedom, justice, equality, happiness, peace of mind, contentment, money, decent homes, all these things can be yours if you accept your God now, Allah now, and return to his and your original religion, which is Islam, right? Okay.
Right.
Now, on the preface page, it continued with these words. It says, as we near the exhaustion, what is exhaustion? You know what I'm saying? Tiredness. Tiredness, exhaustion of wisdom of this world, which has not been able to shed enough light on our path in search for that supreme wisdom to keep us from stumbling and falling. We now seek the wisdom of Allah God, the best knower and guide in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom our praises be forever, right? Okay, so
yes.
What is it that we as black people in America desire in life? He conceptualized it right there. When he said that freedom, justice, equality, happiness, peace of mind, contentment, money, decent homes. Can you say, when you look at all of that those eight that he listed, that you are experiencing all eight of those things?
Oh, I'm not having no trouble with that.
I'm not having
no trouble with any of that. But I know what you're saying. And
yeah, because we're speaking to a broad group here, right?
Yes, I say actually it was referred to as the 12 necessities of life. But what you're saying is right on point. If you accept is the
right
key here. If you accept what? God of Islam, your God. All of these things. All it is, even the Bible said, lift me up, and I will draw all men unto you.
Right.
So, you can get all of these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to a people who don't have too much, right?
Right.
What is accepting the God? What is this? This is very important. You write on this. You write on what is accepting the God.
Mm-hmm.
That is the key, and that is the very thing I think. This is my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That many are having great difficulty in doing.
Right.
It's why they're having so many other difficulties. Because you have to accept at some point in time that you are the original man.
Right, right.
The black man. If you accept that, when you accept that, you just quit looking for a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm.
And you began to, what, produce Living. For yourself
yeah,
what it
experience.
Is that you want
yeah.
and need.
Right, right.
What you want and need, you began to produce it.
Like, right.
You know, so now that is, if that is the key, it is a key that many haven't found, or if they got it, they haven't put it in the lock and turned it. And opened it.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Because that's the example of what I'm talking about, standing on that summit. You done climbed that mountain. Many of us have climbed that mountain. Many have climbed that mountain 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago. But instead of going back down the side of the mountain that you came up on, it's time to go forward on the side of the mountain that you didn't come up on. That makes sense.
That's not going forward. That's going down.
Well, yeah, you're going down. However, but you're going down into unfamiliar territory. That's my point. Because I think who made mention of that? I think it was Nelson Farrakhan. When he spoke about time warp, some people, they reach a certain level of knowledge and they just stay there. They don't go forward into nothing different. They would just stay there.
Well, you know what we call that?
Go ahead.
Arrested development.
You know, for some reason I had a feeling. because you mentioned that about what? Four times?
It's arrested development because if you have the potential to go further and you don't,
right,
and then you didn't choose to stay where you are, but you
mm-hmm.
began to what? You began to treadmill, or you began to what? Circle and cipher where you are.
Right.
Well, you're not growing. And if you're not growing, you are what? You are expending your energy.
Right, right.
Futilely. And so we see this occur in people quite a bit. They just can't go any further. That is no different than what happened to sperm in the womb.
Right, right.
A lot of sperm is caught in different crevices.
Right.
And they just spend their energy trying to make a way where, as you say, naturally there is no way. And they expend, you only got a certain amount.
Mhm. Right.
And they use it all up. And when they use it all up, that's it.
Because, brother, when you're talking about moving forward, that means you're going down, you're climbing back down the mountain. Everything real. We can't fly. But when you're talking about going down the mountain instead of going back down on the part where you're familiar with, you're going in down into unfamiliar territory. However, that means that you're going to have to become a student again. But you're going to become a student from a much higher level now. Because I love that example I talked about last week about how the sunlight, this particular sun that we have, it goes 76 quintillion miles I think that's what I said last week. And what I found interesting about that is that if light stretches out that far into the darkness, according to the master, that's how far light can travel. Then what I notice is that there are other suns out there in this universe. And so where our particular sunlight ends at, then another sunlight picks up from there. And I'm talking about, we talk about deep, deep, deep space. But wow, it makes sense. Because that's why whenever you look in a telescope, man, in the telescopes, especially that Hubble telescope that they got out there right now, that Hubble telescope is the only reason why you're getting images from far distant stars is because it's picking up on the light that is out there. It's light upon light everywhere.
The one thing I would say is this. I can remember at different points in my life where things made sense. At the point where I was. That's what I'm saying. They made sense at the point where I was.
Yeah.
But as I continued to grow, I looked back and I smiled. Sometimes I just bust out laughing.
Yeah.
Because I realized they made sense at that level. But because I had grown in understanding of things, I had grown in wisdom and knowledge that I was able to see much farther than what I did at that point of travel.
Mm-hmm.
So things can appear so bright, so plain. You began to realize, man, this is a big universe. This is a big universe.
Yeah, and it just don't stop inside your little sphere.
Not only that, when you're talking about the wisdom and knowledge of God, brother, when you're talking about the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of God, then you're talking about what is limitless. It has no limit.
Mm-hmm.
So what I see at this point, as I continue to grow and look back at this, it was fine for the time.
Mm-hmm.
But what I see at another point of growth and development, I couldn't imagine where I was.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't imagine that at the time that I was. It's like, you've probably heard this before, the man that's standing on top of the mountain and the other one that's down in the valley. Well, the man that's down in the valley speaks about what's in the valley. Because that's the level he owns, and that's the level he can see. But the man on the mountaintop, he's been in the valley. He's up out of the valley and above it. And what he speaks about, the man in the valley can't see it. It's he don't have that vision. So as a result, he wants to argue with the man on the mountain. The man on the mountain refused to argue with
him. Yes, no need for it.
Because he's aware enough and wise enough to know this man cannot see what he's looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So he leaves it to be.
Well,
we are talking about profound wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Right. Exactly. And that's the reason why I want to do this show and use nature as examples, Because, man, once we walk out our doors every day, we're going to see something. And everything that you are seeing with your physical eyes, there's a lesson contained within it. You look at grass, there's a lesson contained in grass. There's a lesson contained in the sunlight. There's a lesson contained in the clouds, in the moon, in the stars, in the black matter of the universe. It's lessons in everything that we see. And the deal is that I found out that, and that's the reason why I love that little part in the New Testament when it speak about the new Jesus. It says we'll be born of a quickening spirit. See, remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said about these teachings, he said this is just a wake-up message.
That's right,
And my thing is, no matter what I spout out of something that you probably can't see today, I know as a black man, the original black man, I know that you are inside of your being contains 66 trillion years of knowledge because it's carried through your DNA. And what frightens them, especially the rulers of this world, is that one day you're going to tap back into that. It's like this, brother. It's kind of like the example Mills and Farrakhan spoke about a boxer. You got a boxer in the ring, then you got a paraplegic in the other side. It's the unfair advantage.
Well,
if the black man really wake up into himself, it's an unfair advantage. And the reason why I'm saying it like that is because the distractions that is harshed upon us daily and they're telling us that, oh, you are nothing, you're people, you have never built anything, you know what I'm saying? And you got a lot of us that just suck it in just like we sucking on a milkshake or something. But that is all by design. But go ahead, make your point, brother.
My point is this. The messenger said this was a wake-up message, what he was giving us, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all we needed.
Mm-hmm.
You got to realize he got that message from God.
Right.
If you believe, he got that message from God. So he got what we needed, a wake-up message to wake us up.
Uh-huh.
And so once we woke up, you know, we look at how long we were asleep and what had transpired and took place on the planet while we were asleep. That's called reviewing the history of that period of time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we had to get back to a point where all of that took place, started from, which was Yaqub and what he brought forth with his idea.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, we were who we were. Gods.
Mm-hmm.
You got to say that. Gods. And as a result of that, that's what a lot of people is failing to say and recognize themselves.
Right.
God. So when you wake up to the knowledge of who you are and where you originate, you know how memory is. Things begin to come back to you, which is that knowledge of self and abilities and all of those things that were laying what? Dormant in us. And as those things began to come up and we began to realize that we have power that the world have not witnessed. Mm-hmm. You hear what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So, as a result of this, who we looking for? We ain't looking for nobody. We ain't looking for nobody. What we do is we think.
Mm-hmm.
Our brother. We thank our brother, listen to this real good, for waking us up.
Mm-hmm.
We thank our brother for waking us up.
Right.
To the knowledge of self. Time to wake up. To the knowledge of our history and what had taken place. We thank our brother. We thank him. Our brother knew what time it was, so teaches the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
So being that he knew what time it was, he knew what he had to do. And what he had to do was to what? Design one. I didn't really want to go into this. Who would do
what he did, find us, come here, raise up
one of our brothers, teach him, give him the wake-up message. He would wake us up, and once we woke up, then we would see what has to be done, and we would do it.
Because
nobody is qualified to do it but us. And you have to understand when I say but us, and how am I speaking? Not as a Negro.
Yeah, you got a lot of them sitting there right
now.
See,
I'm speaking as one who is knowledgeable of himself.
Uh-huh. That's right. And last week, I want to make sure I say this before we go forward. I did make mention that we're gonna be drawing from out of the Quran a certain verse in Surah 25, the discrimination. There's a section there that talks about a lesson of nature, and I'm gonna read something from that right quick. That way I keep my word. It says like in verse 25, 45 through 46 of the discrimination says that. See not how thy Lord extend the shade, and if he pleased, he would have made it stationary. Then we have made the sun an indication of it. Then we take to ourselves, taking it little by little. Now, there's a footnote attached to that two verses, and it says this. It says this and the previous verse shows that Allah God deals mercifully with his servants. He would not destroy them all at once. The sun of righteousness has risen, and there were clear indications that the shadows of darkness would disappear. But as in physical nature, they would not disappear suddenly, but gradually diminishing little by little. What that verse and what that footnote said to me is that they are teaching us how nature does not stand still. There is always a constant moving, a constant progression to all things that is real and manifest. When we talk about let's look at it, because, bro, we kind of talked this Tuesday, I think it was. And then I made mention of the evolution of a believer. the words of the Bible holds true. Many are called and few are chosen. And you've definitely been relating to that from the whole time, because when we talk about the mighty, the wise, and the best, that's what God is looking for. I mean,
what
don't you know
he was looking
that?
For?
Yeah, that's what he said he's looking for. But don't you know that many of us as believers in this time, in the NOI, man, you're chosen to be believers and building in this kingdom of Allah. Cause I remember that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that if you recognize him, then consider yourself a lucky fellow. That's what he said. Matter of fact, I think he said in that first theology of time, or it probably was first or second, but either way it goes, he said consider yourself lucky, because our vision is something else, y'all. We could be looking at something, and then we can actually not see it, even though it's right there in front of us. And people,
I saw you.
Yeah, go ahead.
There are things that can interfere with our perception.
You're right.
And so, and when those things interfere with our perception, we have to ask the question, what are we looking at and how are we seeing it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those things primarily are within the self. They're not outside.
Right.
That interfere with our perception.
Right.
There is even an argument about reality and what that is.
That's true. That's
But what I'm saying is this. The God today, in this time,
mm-hmm.
is creating a new heaven and a new earth.
Right.
He makes all things new. If he's making all things new, we call it a celestial body.
Mm-hmm.
Is not that how we refer to the universe? A celestial body.
People nowadays are saying that we were created from stardust.
I mean, hey, man, a sun, whether it be
mm-hmm.
this one that controls this system.
Right.
They are suns all over. This universe.
My point earlier.
This universe.
All over.
They are known as stars.
Uh-huh.
They're known as stars.
Different
and
world,
so
different
when you,
reality.
Hey, man. This is much bigger. This is
I love this. I love this.
Yeah, this is much bigger. It's amazing. They're studying now things like it have been for a while.
Mm-hmm.
How observing photons of light, how just
mm-hmm.
looking at it can change its
yep.
behavior.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Just looking at it changes behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're viewing this, changes behavior, then what else can you do
mm-hmm.
when you become knowledgeable of yourself?
Right.
And your potential.
Right.
So, look, bro, Jesus, I don't know if you ever, it may be some things. Jesus don't even function in this equation.
Yeah, I know.
There's
a lot.
He was, he was our brother. We loved him. He
right.
done what he was supposed to do.
Right.
And he did his best at it. We applaud
right.
him for that. We love him, and we thank Allah for that. But even he knew his time was up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is a new time. This is a new time. The one who rules this period of motion, who is the Allah, supreme being of black man of Asia, is Master W.F. Muhammad. Believe it or let it alone, like the messenger used to say. He's making what?
All things new.
A new heaven and a new earth. What you mean he's
mm-hmm.
making a new heaven and a new earth? That leads you to think about what is heaven and a new
right.
earth. What is earth? What earth is he talking about? Is it this
right.
planet that we're sitting on? A new heaven, a new earth. You know, the Christian would look at it. You know, is it referencing a man who is made out of earth? Is he making
uh-huh.
a new man according to the scripture of what they say God did?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look at all of this, and we have to look at how we are perceiving these teachings. I said some time ago, these teachings are coded. And
right.
they are coded because he already knew when these teachings would be given to the messenger and these teachings would be given to us. He already knew the devil would see him first.
Right.
But they are coded for who? They are coded for the believer.
Yes.
The true believer. So
right.
only the true believer can hear it, understand it, and know it. Only
right.
the true believer. Because that's
right.
who it is meant for.
Right.
No one else is not meant for no one else but the true believer. Neither was the Quran. The Quran was
mm-hmm.
not meant for everybody, as some would have you believe. No, it was
it
meant
does
for
tell you
the
that in
true
the beginning.
Believer.
Yep.
Yes.
It says it in the very
so
beginning.
So how are we, should ask ourselves, how are we seeing
mm-hmm.
these books? What is our perception based on? What is our belief based on? How are we seeing,
right.
how are we, listen, better than that. How are we receiving the signal that is coming through the word? I can tell you, the signals, the messaging is coming through the word because these are the words of God himself.
Right, right.
And the words are filled with his power. Listen to me, real.
Mm-hmm.
They are filled with his power, with his wisdom,
right.
with his knowledge and understanding.
That's right.
So the messenger said, don't worry about it. Just drink in the word.
Just drink it in.
Take the word in. Just take it
right.
in.
That's right.
And so we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bearing much fruit. It's bearing much fruit.
Right.
We're not in doubt about what to do now, what time it is, which way we should
right.
move.
Yeah.
We're not
yep.
in doubt about none of that. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
We already have that. We're not looking
right.
for the messenger. That would be a contradiction. That wouldn't
right.
make no sense. We understand that. But the one who don't understand that, the won't is what? Do not know how to what? Liberate the message from the word. And if you look at it, it's very much, I'm going to give you a key. It is very much like the pandemic that is going on now and COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the word like the virus.
Uh-huh.
That's just a key.
Right.
And what do the virus do? When it connects, and it goes in, it has in it what? Messenger RNA and DNA.
Right.
And what do it seek to do within the host?
Oh, it seeks to leave.
Take over its sister. Right?
Right.
And what? Replicate itself.
Right.
And grow within that host. Spreading throughout the host.
Right.
That's what the word is like. I'm just giving you something that people who are listening can get a grasp of.
Well, that's true.
So,
I mean, come on. Yeah.
And so, instead of what? It's incredible, brother. It's incredible. The whole aim is to take over the whole.
Exactly.
Is it not?
Oh, yeah, that's the whole key. Even though it don't know what it's doing, though.
It wants the host to do what? Share
really,
it
wants
virus.
It to live. Be honest
he
with
won't,
you.
Look, I'm saying, isn't that what I'm saying? It wants the host to shed virus, whereas more within its community, what?
Can thrive.
Get it. Until it has what? Infected the whole community. There is an attempt to what? Stop it.
Yeah.
I'm just speaking this on a spiritual level. There is an attempt to stop it. It's futile. You can't stop, like Hammer said, you can't stop this.
Exactly.
No, you can't stop this, Hall.
No, you can't stop it.
Why? Because it has the ability to do what? Change.
Change, yeah.
Ooh,
they
boy,
say
that,
they say they hit that virus now.
That is being fast.
That virus now is up to 30 different strands now. Because it constantly keeps changing. Yep, it's changing.
The only thing the people is, I said is, I'm still talking about the word now.
Right.
The people are being told right now to what? Everything's all right.
Right.
Take the shot, trying to give everybody the shot to develop what? Immunity against the virus. Is it not?
Yep.
It don't work, bro. It don't work.
Yep.
It's an attempt to do what? Fool you.
Know, slow it down. That's all. It ain't going to slow it down.
It's an attempt to deceive you.
Yep. It's an
attempt to deceive you. Whereas you will go about your way acting like you are not being affected by it.
Right.
He never told you that the shot, think about it, he never told you that the shot would stop you from catching the virus.
Yeah. He keep telling that the whole time.
Never told you. So it's a lot in common with the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who listen can study that in reference to the word of God. Guess what is going on all over the planet?
Mm-hmm.
All over the planet.
I mean, for those of you who always talk about that walking around, because I had a brother I used to talk to, man. This dude used to walk around and talk about, I'm a wise man. And I told him, man, you know, I would never say that. You know, even though I do possess the knowledge that I have, but I never walk around calling myself a wise man. The reason why I don't do that is because your total condition should reflect your wiseness, and that's why I don't do that. However, but as what we learned about wisdom is application, and the reason why I want to do a show like this is that brothers and sisters, you got wisdom everywhere. You even the bed that you are laying on right now as we talking, or the toilet you sitting on. or some of y'all may be out in a park right now. Some of you out in, you know, you out in nature. You listening to us by a satellite. If you look around, your wisdom is everywhere. And don't you know, out of all the things that you are seeing right now, that you can take the word of God and you can put it in your mind and you can make a lesson out of all the things that you are seeing everything, even down to the smallest composition of metal. There's wisdom contained in everything. You talk about a wake up message. Take what you just heard today and apply it. Apply it to everything. And you can pull a lesson out of everything. I'm looking at a pair of crutches right now. It's wisdom in it. Because I'm looking at the elements of aluminum. It's all around you. Man, the God, man, I don't know, brother, how we fall into the type of madness that we do, but if we would just focus on the wisdom of God, period, man, it can eliminate a whole bunch of that madness, because your mind is constantly being fed on truth and reality, and then you begin to open your eyes and see things. If you start seeing things as a lesson, you got a lesson in the bee. You got a lesson in the fish. Don't you know, brother, I looked at a video earlier today, and I thought I said I was probably going to mention it. But there was a dog, right? And you know your experience with dogs. This dog, it was a Chinese man. He was getting ready to cut open a fish. Don't you know that dog, very gingerly put his paw on his arm and stopped him from cutting the fish, and the dog looked at him in the eyes, and he stopped him with the paw, and then the dog reached over with his mouth, took the blade out the man's hand, and walked off. I'm saying to myself, boy, even a dog can show high regard for life. What is wrong with human beings?
Well, I said one thing is you have to get the knowledge. Then you have to study and internalize it.
Yes.
Whereas you can get understanding of it, then you have
yes.
to apply it. When you apply it, you will get greater understanding of it, and you will be able to utilize it to bring about what you will as you will. That is the active use of wisdom.
Right.
Once you find you have wisdom, you can increase it as full as you want. Once you know
right.
how to get it, you can. It's no limit to it. You can just increase it, increase it, increase it. But you don't
no,
have to
no
show
limit.
It all the time.
Right, right. Man,
all
tell
the
me
time,
every day.
The act of all the time, the act of wisdom is not revelation.
Right.
Sometimes it's concealment.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Concealment. And that goes back to what I was talking about, the thought. When you're talking about dealing like with thought, is that inside the thought itself. You can if the thought is emotionally charged, then there's going to be an outcome regardless. But if contained in that thought is the little glimmer of laziness, ain't nothing going to move, bro. and you're going to be laying up in your bed every doggone day, man, going over and over again something great that you want to bring about and make happen, but it never happened because of that lazy spark there and your unwillingness to become emotionally charged with the thought itself. This has been a beautiful show, brother. It ain't telling me it's 10
all
seconds
right,
left,
all
so
right.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and we hope that you all will come back next week.